take but one example. The recording of all of those dynasties of kings, one after another after another. You don't do that without a very powerful sense of historic mindedness. But for the Egyptians, this was a way of charting the authenticity and legitimacy of their pharaonic rulers. For the Hebrews, for example, unfolding history in this way was a way of revealing an unfolding relationship between a god and his people. And insofar as one party to that relationship, God himself, was rather beyond the realm of ordinary human experience, that made historical mindedness, or even history for the Hebrews, something rather different from what it would be for the Greeks. The Greeks were less interested, quite simply, in pointing toward the future. Greek, for the Greeks, history was a way of understanding now. And then in the second place, it was a way of understanding certain fundamental elements that mark each of us and all societies. There is a universalizing dimension. Now, we could say then that there are certain similarities between the Greek view of history and the Hebrew view of history, but that in some ways in the Greek view of history, the religious component is much diminished, perhaps indeed even absent. Now, to repeat, to say that the Greeks invented history is to say that they invented a particular literary form. Was this a good idea or a bad idea? Aristotle, in his Poetics, you may recall in the last lecture we mentioned Aristotle's Poetics in terms of the definition of tragedy. Well, Aristotle's great book of literary criticism, the first book of literary criticism, as far as we know, that was ever written, also addressed itself to history. Fundamentally, it's a book about poetry, although there is something interesting hiding in a word, yet again. The Greek verb poiein means to make. A poet is a maker. The creative act is to make poetry. Now, Aristotle says that poetry is a superior art to history because poets never lie and historians frequently do. Now, I haven't been lying to you over the last 10 lectures, but Aristotle's point is that the poets seek for deeper, more fundamental, more lasting, and more beautiful truths, and they adorn them in more elegant language. Historians merely haggle over details. They try to get down what happened. Well, I've often wondered if Aristotle possibly had his tongue in his cheek when he said that. I don't begrudge him that he likes poetry better than history. Sensible people have preferred poetry to history. But I'm not sure that historians only haggle over details, and I'm not sure that they don't, at least sometimes, try to tell the truth. The greatest Greek historians wrote down lots of details. Of this, there can be no doubt. If you go to the library and you take one of these books off the shelf, or if you go to your local bookstore and you take one of these books off the shelf, Herodotus, Thucydides, they are big fat books. There's a lot of information in there. But the story is not finally about that information. The story is finally about certain large themes, about certain large truths, about the way human beings conduct themselves, about why they do what they do. What they do is important, yes, but why people did things is vastly more important. There is an element in Greek historical writing at its best that is epic. There is a sense of transposing the ordinary into the extraordinary, as it were, of painting a small picture but on a very large canvas, of universalizing, of saying, I see these events in this place at this time, but I can derive from them this large principle about the way human beings act. That is the goal, that is the aspiration of Greek historical writing, not merely to record. Now, we could agree or disagree with the points that they make, and that may be something of what Aristotle was driving at. In other words, not telling the truth is not so much falsifying, but not hitting the unquestionably universal in a way that he supposed poets did, and hitting the questionably universal as he thought historians might do. Well, enough of all this beating around the bush, let's talk about some Greek historians. Herodotus, born probably 485 BC or thereabouts, right in the middle of the Persian Wars, dies in 425. He's usually called the father of history. He wrote one great book. A long, highly entertaining account of the Persian Wars. Now, he saw the Persian Wars, Herodotus did, as a great watershed moment in Greek history. He saw this as a kind of a defining moment in Greek history. In many ways, we could look back and say he was not wrong to do so. Herodotus was born in Ionia. He was born, in other words, on the western coast of Anatolia, on the opposite side of the Aegean Sea from the Greek mainland. This reminds us that large numbers of important Greeks came from various parts of the Greek world. I've been kind of stressing Athenian culture here, and that's legitimate.